pouring out for the Lord with everything, but now I'm sweating because I'm nervous. So the message today, oh, the kids, run for it. You'll be glad. So the title of the message today is The Heart of God. And this is kind of, I don't know, something that I come across, the Holy Spirit gave me years and years ago, just pieces of things. And when I was told I needed to do a message, I figured I better try to put it together. And so this is more like for a reminder, there's so many scriptures that I've tried to put in. There's so many I couldn't even fit in here because I thought it would be too long. But there's so many scriptures that I feel like a lot of times as Christians, we've heard them and we've read them so many times that we sort of just go right through them. We don't even recognize the power behind them anymore. We know that there's power, but we just kind of like, we've gotten used to hearing it. We've kind of forgotten where we came from before we were the believers in Jesus. You know, we let our hearts get hardened to those who are lost still, who are struggling in this world, you know, who are dead to the Lord. We were there once, but Jesus came and he saved us. And we need to keep that remembrance of what God did for us, for those who are still lost in the darkness like we were. So this is sort of about that. I pray to the Lord you get something out of this. The heart of God, loving and giving. 1 John 4:16. And I'll just read them off here. I got a lot of scriptures, so I'm not going to turn to all of them. We're just going to look up here. Maybe I'll turn this way. Maybe it won't ring. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I think that's a pretty good definition of what love is. And that's what our God is. He is love. When we give our lives over to Jesus, we give our hearts to him. We trade in our old stone hearts and God gives a new heart, a heart that mirrors his own, a heart that is transformed when he can mold and shape. We should be desiring to be more like Jesus every day in our lives, and that starts with our hearts. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We hear that verse hundreds of times, but I think sometimes we need to stop and really think about it, how great the love of God is. He loved and he gave. How awesome is that? That is how much he cares for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose for us. Everything he does is for our benefit. God is love. The heart of God is based on love. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us when we weren't worthy of love. But it didn't matter. Romans 8:11. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. And I've underlined some of these scriptures up here. You probably know love and give. It just repeats itself over and over. Loving and giving. He gave. He freely gave to us. We didn't have to do a thing for it. All we had to do is confess Jesus is our Lord and Savior. How awesome is that? Just blows me away. He dwells in us. He is part of us. His heart beats for us. His life flows through our veins. Life that is in him is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That awesome power that rose Jesus from the grave, he has given to us to have. And that is the heart of it. God showed love no matter what. We need to recall that we were enemies of God before we declared that Jesus is our Lord. Yet still, he loved us first. So what does the scripture teach about how enemies are treated? I could read you a ton of scriptures about how the people of God want their enemies to be treated. Just go through the book of Psalms. And over again in there, it's destroy our enemies, deliver us from our enemies, wipe them off the face of the earth. They were focused on worldly enemies instead of the real dangers that God wants us to be aware of. Ephesians 6:10-12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So God wants us to worry about bigger things than what we see with our own eyes in this world. The Israelites were, I think that's one of the reasons why so many of them missed Jesus, because they were so caught up with the worldly problems, their worldly enemies, that that's all they wanted delivered from was what was going on right then in their lives. They weren't looking ahead to the big picture of eternity. So here's some scriptures that tells us how God says to handle worldly enemies. It's not to hate them and destroy them and want them wiped off the face of the earth. Proverbs 25:21-22. And also this is repeated in Romans 12:20. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for so you will heat coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Exodus 23. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. That's just showing love. A love that only God can give to us. What else we got? Matthew 5:43-44. This is Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Just think about that for a minute. How hard is that for the flesh, for our flesh that we dwell in right now? How hard is that? love your enemies, pray for those who spitefully use you. God wants us to be more like Him, transforming our hearts. In the end, though, something we need to remember, the consequence of sin is death. And those that sin are the enemies of God, just like we were at one time before we accepted Jesus. And they will suffer for it if they don't turn from their wicked ways. The wrath of God will come upon them. And I think that's what breaks my heart the most. These people who were where I once was, what they're going to face if they don't turn to Jesus, what they have to face for eternity is heartbreaking. It's unimaginable suffering, being totally separated from God. So how does this apply to us? We start out enemies with God because of our sin, but God gave us hope. We are able to be transformed by what Jesus did for us on the cross. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will conquer a multitude of sins. Just love conquers a multitude of sins. Next slide. I forgot which one I'm on. 1 John 3:1. Nope, where am I at? Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Colossians 1. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. He made us blameless. He gave us holiness because of His love for us. Matthew 5:43-45. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And it goes on to, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. That we may be sons of your Father, the sons of your Father in heaven. God calls us His sons and daughters. We are His. Because we love like He loves. We do as He commands. He calls us His own. And now as believers in Christ, the sons and daughters of God, we are His children. We have gone from enemy to family. I am a child of God, a phrase we've said and heard 1,000 times that we just sort of, a lot of times I think we use it in passing. It isn't just a phrase. It's a declaration of the truth of who God says we are. We need to take hold of that. It's who God says we are. Through Jesus, we became His own. John 1:10-13. He who was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Next slide. 1 John 3:1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God just tried to pound it into our heads through the scripture. Who we are. We are his. And a lot of times we get caught up in our flesh and we forget that, I think. We just get lost in ourselves and what we want to do. But we remember what God, he gave us all this so we have a way to look and remember who we are, who he wants us to be, who he says we are. He sees us as his children. He treats us as his children, raising us up in his ways, teaching us truth, guiding us in the way of spiritual life. And in this, we also have become the body of Christ. Ephesians 1. Ooh, a long one. I got to read all that. Hang on. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What's the next one? 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So just as Dale was saying a few minutes ago, there's all these different churches in our community. But we all are baptized into one Spirit, those who have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Even though we have some differences, we are one. Just like it says there, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, whether you're Baptist, and all the names escape me, all the other denominations, Catholic, you name it, when you're baptized into one body, that's what matters. That's what matters. That we believe in the same God. And we believe that Jesus died for us on that cross, that he was the Word made flesh, and he is risen. That's the root of what we need to hold on to with all these other bodies of believers in our community. That is where our common ground we need to stand on. Coming together as born-again believers, we aren't just the body of Christ. I think that's another term, kind of like love. We just kind of, we love this. We love food, and we love ice cream, and we love all kinds of stuff. This is kind of another thing, the body of Christ. I think we kind of just blow through this too and just don't take it for what it is, how powerful this is. We need to remember we are the body of Christ, the heart of God beating in all of us, unifying us, joining us together for a common purpose, which is furthering his kingdom here on this earth, following his will for our lives. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's make that happen. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here are some more good truths to get a hold of. Galatians 4, 6 through 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Jesus is in us. 1 John 4, 11, 16. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. How many times did it say that in there? Three times? God abides in us. In us and him. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? Trying to pound it through our thick skulls sometimes? You got to remember, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Is this the one I just read? Or is this a new one? Well, the same one. I don't know. I lost track where I was. That's why I'm no good at this. Romans 8. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Next one. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the them he is talking about there, it's from the other scripture in Ephesians. Where's that? I'll look at it real quick. I think I'm open to the right page even. The principalities, the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. He's given us power over those things. He's already overcome them. But while we're in this fallen world, we still have to battle them. what was that one? Where am I at? Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I keep losing my place. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in this bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Next slide. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Uh-oh, now I've done it. When we study these truths about who God says we are and who God wants us to be, when we realize them and utilize them, accepting them as truth over ourselves, declaring them over our lives, we will be living in God's will. When we grasp the reality of who God says we are, who he made us to be, and the resources he has provided to us through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, amazing things will happen. It's not that they might happen, they will happen. All these scriptures aren't just words written in a book. These are the powerful truths God has given to us for us to take hold of and to believe about ourselves. We are connected directly to the Father, Son, and Spirit. As Christians, we are one. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also were being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. A holy body, the body of Christ, the dwelling place of God. We are a work in progress. The pursuit of unity with one another, with God, and with each other. It's a constant growing. It has to be a constant growing. We can't just stop someplace, be idle. We've got to pursue God. We've got to pursue his will and let him teach us and grow us in his Spirit. And sometimes I think we lose the sight of what the unit of the unity God desires from us. I think a lot of times we can look at it and think the Father is working, the Son is working, the Holy Spirit's working, and they're off just doing their own thing. They have their own little office spaces for the same company, and they're doing their own thing, but they're not. They are connected and interlaced with one another, and we are in the midst of them. They are like when you put your fingers together, and that's how they are in unity. They're one. In all these scriptures we've been reading, they're declaring to us the truth that we are part of that. We are in that oneness with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are in there, intertwined in all of that. He in us and we in Him. We seem to grasp that truth, that we are part of it. And we need to act like it. We don't want to be like spectators doing our own things, saying, oh, look what God's doing over there now. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. We need to realize we are part of the kingdom of God. We are what God uses through the works of the Holy Spirit in us to come against the workings of the enemy in this world. That is if we choose to participate and let Him work through us. We are on the winning team. The good news is death is already defeated. The power of sin and shame are already broken. Jesus has already won the victory. But in this fallen world, there are still so many battles to be fought and won. For the battle for people who are lost in sin and darkness, what do we do? What does the scripture say to do? Love and give. Be like Jesus. Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Does all that sound familiar from Corinthians, right? What love is. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love. Loving and giving. Give love, give forgiveness. For the battle against our true enemy, keep our armor of God on and in good condition, and praying always, be like Jesus. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. God has provided for us all the armor we need to come against the wiles of the devil, the enemy, the true enemy, who just utterly hates us and wants to see us destroyed and wants to see everyone in this world destroyed. But God has given us the armor He's given us his helper, the Holy Spirit. He's given us the truths of his word in this Bible to stand against these things. Next slide. The greatest commandment. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love. Over and over, love. We want to be like God? Love like God. Take his love out into this world so they can see that we are not of this world anymore. We are different. We are so changed through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the power of his Holy Spirit. And not only that, but we are unified at that. We are unified through that. Working together for the same goal, God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Standing strong with the armor he has provided for us. Moving forward. Taking the fight to the streets. Into the darkness, being a light. And that is something I struggle with. I'm not an outgoing person. And it is so hard for me to share the gospel with people. But the Lord has given me, he's given us the power, the Holy Spirit, to overcome the flesh and be bold for him, for his glory, for his name. Be bold for him. So Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 is a prayer Paul prayed over the Ephesians. I'm going to end it with that. I'm going to pray that prayer over us and over our community and over the other bodies of believers in our community, in our entire nation, in the entire world. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Let's strive for unity in our community. It's where it's got to start. Strive for unity in our body here in this building, and then just expand it out into our community, to the other believers in our community. Just put it in God's hands. Watch it grow. Watch it spread. Just spread. Starts with loving and giving, just as God loved and gave. Hallelujah. Amen. For anyone who needs prayer, we can come up here, we can pray for you.